Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and another day, another new all-time high for Tesla, so we'll continue talking a little bit about Tesla stock. We've also just seen a huge move in the stock, so some people have asked for updates on how that impacts the S&P 500 inclusion, so I wanted to go through the latest numbers on that and just kind of provide an update on that process, because we actually have some misinformation that's getting out there into some financial media, so we'll address that. We also have an update on the full self-driving beta, so FSD Beta 5 that Elon was referring to a few days ago, that is now out. And then a couple other stories as well. Before we get into it though, a nice little milestone today for Tesla Daily. This is actually episode 700, if you can believe it, of the Tesla Daily podcast. Perfect opportunity with Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow for me to just say a huge, huge thank you to everybody that listens to the podcast, and especially everybody that supports the podcast that has made this all possible. Truly, Tesla Daily, it would not exist without that support. So huge thank you to those select few of you. You know, it's just 1% to 2% of the audience that does that, and you're providing for everybody else. I, on behalf of everybody else, I'm sure we can say we appreciate that. That's helped Tesla Daily get to where it is, and let me just say, it's not going to stop here. There's more to this story that has yet to be told, and sort of one of my founding principles is just to make sure that anyone that is supporting, that they feel like they're putting those resources to good use, and that I can show that over time. So again, thank you. And if you do want to join that group, you can find more details about doing that at patreon.com/Tesla Daily Podcast. All right, so Tesla stock today hitting another new all-time high and actually closing at that all-time high. So closing at $574 today, the highest price of the day. Though we'll see what after hours does, because as I'm recording, it's continuing to run up and set new all-time highs. Anyway, that $574 closing price, that was a 3.4% gain on the day. That compared to the NASDAQ up 0.5%. If we take another look at volume, it was relatively in the range that we've had for the last couple of days, about 47.8 million shares, so about 133% to average over the last month, but only 73% to average over the last year. The movement today was a continuation from the strength in after hours yesterday. Tesla had traded in that sort of $560 range, but we actually saw it fall in the pre-market to the $540 range on some news of some recalls that Tesla shook off throughout the day. I think they're pretty insignificant. The market, I think, realized that throughout the course of the day, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on them. But there were recalls issued for the Model X and for the Model Y by the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. For the Model X, there was just an issue with a cosmetic applique at the front of the roof, just behind the windshield for the Model X, that if the adhesion process was done without a primer, could be at risk for flying off at high speeds of travel. NHTSA says this could potentially impact about 9,000 vehicles, Model X vehicles produced from September of 2015 to July of 2016, and that NHTSA is not aware of any accidents or injuries resulting from this condition. As for the Model Y, NHTSA says that for Model Ys produced between August 28th and November 6th, there were 437 for which manufacturing records could not confirm that the front upper control arm was properly fastened to the steering knuckle. So that just needs to be confirmed or corrected if there are any issues, and NHTSA again says they're not aware of any accidents or injuries from that condition. All right, moving into the updated numbers on S&P inclusion. A lot of people have asked for this recently with the, you know, now 30%+ increase we have seen since the announcement. So we'll take an updated look at the required capital, the weighting, and the amount of shares that these index funds need to purchase. I noticed there's this misperception out there. We've talked about it in the past, but people seem to think that as Tesla stock price increases, the amount of shares that need to be purchased also increases. I actually saw this in a Barron's article today with the headline of, quote, "Tesla stock rises again, creating another problem for index funds." They go on to talk about how since the inclusion announcement, the stock is up 38%. That means that Tesla will be about the fifth or sixth largest company in the S&P index. And they write here, quote, "And the more valuable it gets, the more shares index funds have to buy," end quote. So with the big move in the stock, a lot of questions on this, and now this misperception making its way all the way into a Barron's article, I thought this was the perfect time to revisit. All right, so let's hop back into our tracking spreadsheet here. We have all the numbers updated for today, November 25th. So Tesla's closing price, $574. The S&P price, that's about $3,629 today. The S&P 500 divisor, so as a reminder, that's just a metric that the S&P uses internally to make sure that the share price for the index stays equivalent to its past performance based on companies that are added. So for example, if you add Tesla at, you know, a $400 billion market cap and you take a company out at $10 billion, you need to adjust for that to make sure that the share price for the index isn't changing simply based on adding a new company. That wouldn't work. So that S&P divisor is what compensates for that. So keep that in mind, but that gives the S&P a total market cap of roughly $30 trillion as of today. So with Tesla's float-adjusted market cap, which remember removes shares that are unlikely to be able to be sold, such as those held by Elon or other insiders, that would be $436 billion today, roughly at that $574 share price. So we can use that to figure out the weight. And here I've added another little step that I think makes this a little bit more correct. I've actually added the market cap of Tesla to get the S&P 500 float market cap, including Tesla. So that bumps it up by, you know, $440 billion. So instead of being 30 trillion, it's 30.4 trillion. That's more accurate because once Tesla is added, that's what will happen. And then I've just gone ahead and removed 5 billion from that total because I assume Tesla will replace a company that's, you know, right around that market cap. That doesn't make too much of a difference, but just for completeness's sake. And then if you're following along with that divisor concept, that's where this comes into play. So when Tesla is added, they don't want that to change the price of the index. So they'll change the divisor instead. So we can figure out what that would be simply by dividing this new market cap by the current share price, whatever it is at that time. We'll just use today, for example. And that gives us our new divisor, which goes up from 8.27 to 8.39. All right, we're through the hardest part of the math then. Then we can just figure out Tesla's weight by taking Tesla's float market cap, dividing it by that new total S&P market cap, and that ends up with a weight at Tesla's current share price of $574 of 1.43% of the S&P index. So what that 1.4% weight means is that if we hop over to our tracking assets, the funds that are specifically trying to track the performance of the S&P 500, that's about $4.6 trillion in assets, to be 1.43% weighted, they would need to own about $66 billion worth of Tesla. That's a little bit less than 115 million shares at $574 per share. Looking at the benchmark funds, which again, their performance is benchmarked to the S&P 500, but instead of trying to just specifically track the performance, they're trying to obviously outperform it. Their compensation is based off of that. That would be another $6.6 trillion in assets. To be equal weight, 1.43%, those funds would need to own $94.5 billion of Tesla. That's 165 million shares at $574 per share. So all in tracking and benchmark funds, that's 11.2 trillion, and 1.43% of that is 160 billion or about 279 million shares. So if you zoned out during any of that, basically the current need is 115 million shares for those tracking funds. That's pretty solid. I think we can be confident in that. And that's $66 billion, which has gone up from what the S&P 500 said it would be originally, around $50 billion, because of the increase in share price. So that's hitting the dollars required, but the amount of shares needed, actual individual shares, doesn't actually change all that much. So if you see anyone saying that, correct them, point them to this video to explain why. We'll just look at a quick example here to demonstrate that. Let's say over Thanksgiving, everybody tells their entire family about how great of an investment Tesla is. And let's say on Friday, hey, it goes to $1,000 per share. So if we put that in our spreadsheet here, everything else is gonna update. Tesla's new float market cap would be about $760 billion. It would be a weight of about 2.5% then. Index tracking funds would need to buy about $114 billion of Tesla stock, but they would be able to do that with just 113.5 million shares. So that's actually a little bit less than what we had at 574, which remember was just shy of 115 million shares. So there you can see, very simple example, the share price goes up and actually the required share count goes down in association. Now, what is super interesting here, let's look at another example. If Tesla sort of stays stable and the S&P index price goes down, then Tesla actually ends up being a bigger weight at the same share price. And these tracking funds actually need to own more Tesla stock to be at equal weight. And because the Tesla share price hasn't changed, they'll actually need to end up buying more shares then. So again, as an extreme example here, we've got the S&P 500 price going down, you know, 10% or so to $3,300. If Tesla holds constant, the weight bumps up to about 1.6%. These tracking funds would need to buy $72 trillion, and they need about 126 million shares instead of that 115 million. So this is all relative. The S&P 500 price is going to fluctuate, the Tesla price is going to fluctuate, and the variable here that I have held constant, which is the amount of assets in those tracking funds and the benchmark funds, those are all going to fluctuate too. So that's the one flaw with this analysis, I think, because really if the S&P 500 goes down 10%, well, the assets for the tracking funds also should go down 10%. If we drop that down to 4.2 trillion, then we're really back to that 115 million shares. So that might apply for the tracking funds, but the benchmark funds, they could have a significantly different performance and it could actually then change the share count required for them. So it's all kind of a convoluted process, but in summary here, basically, you know, whatever happens with Tesla price, whatever happens with the S&P price, there's going to be a little bit of fluctuation in the amount of shares needed to be purchased. But really, the bigger fluctuation is in the dollar line. That'll have some impacts, but it's not going to be like all of a sudden these S&P tracking funds need to buy, you know, 30% of the float instead of the roughly 15%. All right, so hopefully that clears up any questions. That is the last of the math for today. So let's move on to the full self-driving beta 5 update. This is now the update starting to roll out that Elon had teased on Twitter a few days ago, saying that it should be a significant improvement to the beta, and then also adding that if the release looked good, they'd widen the release to more people. So today on Reddit and on Twitter, we've been seeing updates from people in the FSD beta that they have now received an update 2020.44.15.3. We're starting to see some videos surface from these owners, including from Tesla owner Silicon Valley. They posted a video up of them traveling to a Walmart, doing some left-hand turns, going all the way through the parking lot up to the front door on FSD. So pretty cool to see that, but obviously we're still sort of waiting for all the owners to get a feel for this and see how much progress has been made since the last update. Tesla owner Silicon Valley did confirm in this video that, quote, "This is technically the fifth build, and I have received confirmation that this is the build Elon was referring to as the FSD Beta 5, end quote. Probably a little too soon to draw any other conclusions from this, but again, there are a lot of videos surfacing. I'm sure we'll see a lot more over the next couple of days, so we'll keep an eye on it and check in again in another episode. Next here is a report from Reuters on a new factory that Tesla is working on in China to build supercharging equipment. Reuters says this plant will be nearby Gigafactory Shanghai and that Tesla plans to invest about $6.4 million into the factory, and they expect it to be complete by February. Plan documents submitted by Tesla show that Tesla plans to make about 10,000 superchargers per year out of this plant. So $6.4 million, that's a pretty small investment for Tesla, but this 10,000 superchargers per year is actually pretty significant, so let's look at some context here. And I know I said we were done with the math, but I lied. That's pretty simple though. So last year at around this time, Tesla had, per supercharger.info, just shy of 15,000 open supercharger stalls. Present day, that's jumped up to about 18,500. So over the last year, they've added just shy of 4,000 supercharging stalls. So to add 10,000 per year on top of that, that's a pretty significant bump to the rate of expansion for the supercharging network. And that, you know, 3,500 over the last year, that's been worldwide. So if all of these are meant for the China market, that's going to be an even bigger bump there. For supercharger locations, about 20% of those are in China. So as far as stalls go, there are maybe 4,000 stalls across all of China. So with an additional 10,000 per year, Tesla can grow that by 2.5 times in just a year. So great news to see that, I think, and not to rip on other automakers, but I really just think this highlights the lack of effort or strategy or forward-thinkingness of the other automakers, because if Tesla's able to do this with $6.4 million, there's literally no excuse for other automakers to be dragging their feet on this sort of stuff. Time is probably the biggest hurdle for building out a charging network, and other automakers have had plenty of time, but really anymore, they don't. Anyway, moving on, the last quick thing to point out here is a new page for Tesla on their website. This is tesla.com/battery-jobs, where Tesla has sort of put a landing page together for recruiting for joining what they call their cell team. So there's some cool new videos on there, and really just it talks about how they're hiring for engineering, manufacturing, materials, equipment, operations, etc. And they wrap that up by saying contribute to the plan, highlighting their takeaways from battery day, the 54% range increase, 56% dollars per kilowatt hour reduction, and 69% investment per gigawatt hour reduction. So just thought that was kind of cool and worth sharing. But that will wrap it up for episode 700. I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm so grateful to all of you, everybody that supports the podcast, listens, subscribes, signs up for notifications like I ask you to do every day. I really do appreciate it. I'm very lucky to be able to spend my time researching and talking about this company every day. And you all make that possible. So thank you. Again, I will be off tomorrow. Possibly off on Friday. We'll see how things go. Until next time, you can find me on Twitter @TeslaPodcast. I'll see you then. Thank you.